It was nice to have a purpose to the day's wanderings. I had learned all about bees from a nature documentary, plus some additional things Atticus told me. And I was happy to tell Starbuck all about them as we waited for the honeybee to load up on nectar before heading back to the hive. Eventually, her legs were weighted down with a payload of vomit catalysts, and we followed her, crashing through underbrush for probably half a mile or something. I'm not sure, honestly, but I called out mentally to my druid to make sure we weren't breaking rule number one. Regardicus, can you still hear me?
Sure can, buddy.
His voice replied in my head, and I was still getting used to the fact that it had an Irish accent now. He'd been depressed for a while when he got here, and then kind of snapped out of it when he realized that he no longer had to pretend to be anything but himself, that he could just serve Gaia from now on as the Irish lad he was. No gods were after him, and he didn't owe anyone any favors after this big fight he called Ragnarok. He had lost his right arm in that fight and said he was lucky that was all he lost. And the considerable upside was that he was free for the first time in eons or epics or something like that.
What are you up to?
He asked. We are following a bee because Starbuck wants to see a hive.
Okay, but try not to disturb it. It might be a commercial hive. Launceston is one of the hubs of the Tasmanian honey industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, no matter. It'll be a hive, and I'll warn him to keep his distance. We kept following the bee and came to an abrupt halt when she flew up a tree where a feral hive was wedged between the trunk and a lower branch. I only noted that briefly, however, as something else grabbed our attention.
Bad smell,
Starbuck noted. Bad news, I added. At the base of the bee's tree, sprawled on the ground face up, was a dead human white man. His face was swollen with red bee stings, and he hadn't been dead all that long. I'm not one of those fancy doctors they bring in on all the crime shows to talk about morbidity and body temperature and DNA evidence, but I'm a hound who can smell blood. That man had been bleeding quite a bit. There was a pool of it underneath him. His hands and forearms had pale waxy skin, and his hair was thick, dark, and styled somewhat wavy and poofy. He had been fond of product, I suppose. He had a rugby shirt on, blue jeans, and some chunky tan-colored hiking boots, all of which made it difficult to see where he'd been injured. But my guess was it had been in the back, and somehow he wound up falling on top of it. So, he'd been perforated by bullets, or ventilated with a knife, and then the bees stung him. Or maybe the bees stung him first, and then someone ventilated him for making the bees mad. Whatever it was, he had been bleeding and stung at nearly the same time. Hard to tell which killed him, but the bees ultimately didn't matter. All that blood meant someone had murdered the dude, because bee stings don't cause people to bleed out. Hey, Radicus, we haven't fought crime in a while. Wanna catch some bad guys?
Well, is this a hypothetical question in which you're suggesting we search for a crime scene and try to help the police?
No need to search for a crime scene. We've already found one.
Oh, bollocks. I was afraid you were going to say that. What's the crime?
We have ourselves a hot and fresh murder. We can smell the mineral content of the dude's blood and the load he dumped in his underwear.
Wait, so the murderer might still be nearby? Oberon, be careful.
We heard some rustling in the bushes off to our left. Starbuck turned his head, his bat-like ears on alert, and growled.
Something is coming,
he said. I gave a warning, whoosh, but the rustling only grew louder. Whatever was causing it wasn't easily scared off. You might want to get over here, Atticus.
Start barking now and don't stop until I get there,
he said.